Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And we're here talking to Tracy Madden, the president of McIntosh Staffing Resources, as well as the conference chair for the 2012 New England Association of Personnel Services. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is fun. I'm having a good time doing this. So hopefully you've been able to listen to some of the shows. And
absolutely.
It's been fun. So, well, you know, first let me get right into the first question, which really talks about the New England Association of Personnel Services, or NEAPS. A couple weeks ago, we spoke to the president of NAPS, and he explained a little bit of the difference and how that NAPS supports NEAPS. But tell me a little bit about that organization, what it does, and what it's all about.
Sure, Dave. Basically, NEAPS, N-E-A-P-S, stands for New England Association of Personnel Services. Now, that's a conference that's held once a year, and it's a collaboration of five different states together that make up this conference mecca of individuals that come to learn about all kinds of different trends and strategies in our industry. That's actually broken up into three different associations, one being Connecticut Association of Personnel Services, known as CAPS, and the acronym for Massachusetts Association of Personnel Services is MAPS, and then up here in Little Cow, Hampshire, where we live, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont is put together as Northern New England Association for Personnel Services. So once a year, we all get together with one big party, and we call ourselves New England Association. So that's really how it all is made up.
Sure, and you were the past president and certainly know a lot about the organization. This is really for recruiters and staffing professionals, correct?
Absolutely. We also, probably about 5 years ago, opened our doors to allied vendors, which basically is any company or individual that sells a product or service that supports the staffing or search industry. So that's been good because it gives us an opportunity to get a bird's eye view of what kind of products and services will help grow our businesses better.
Now, you just had the conference. Heck knows I was at it down in Portsmouth, New Hampshire few months ago, and it was great, by the way. You did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
Tell me why somebody would want to go to the conference. And by the way, do you have the dates for the 2013 yet?
I believe it's the first weekend of May. The gentleman who is spearheading that this year, coming in 2013, is Kevin San Juan of MRI in the Connecticut group. But I'm not sure exactly what the dates are, but it's the first weekend, and it is down in the Connecticut area. So that'll be a good time. Somebody wants to go to the conference. Oh, geez, there's all kinds of different reasons. I think first and foremost is the educational opportunity that you get when you get together with everyone and hear these speakers. A lot of us in these associations are made up of privately owned businesses. And as privately owned businesses, we don't have big daddies in Detroit that are telling us how to run our businesses and what to do and have legal counsel and support that take care of us and protect us. So what these conferences do is they provide us with an educational forum to learn these different issues and trends and strategies and products that are coming up to help us grow and succeed. That's the first and foremost reason. I think secondly is an opportunity to meet other recruiters in the industry. We all have those days when we say, oh, am I doing this right? Or is it me or is it the client? In these situations, in these venues that we get together in, we kind of relax and over cocktails talk about our tales of woe and also our successes, and it gives us a great opportunity to understand the mentality of the business as well. And equally, a lot of us have split relationships where we will work together with other recruiters that perhaps provide an applicant or a candidate or a client that we have the reverse for.
Sure. No, I think it's a great networking tool for any organization to think about. And certainly, you know, we talked a lot about the CPCs and the CTS certifications and the importance of that. And it really allows the different organizations to talk to one another and share best practices, right? And see what is necessary and what's really happening today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been going to these conferences for, well, the entire time I've been in this industry, which is almost 30 years, but don't tell anybody that because it kind of puts an age on me. But I'll tell you what, without having taken advantage of the educational opportunities throughout the year and at these conferences, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'd be working in some other industry. So it's so important to do that.
No, it's absolutely great. You know, as we've talked about NEEPS, some of the things that come to mind are, you know, some of the challenges that are out there in the recruiting and staffing world, such as supply and demand of qualified candidates. I mean, this is an interesting conundrum where we have unemployment, in the 8%+ range, but really probably in the 14% to 20% range, depending on where you are. And the fact is that, you know, people would say, well, how is it possible you don't have a supply or, you know, of qualified candidates? So tell me your thoughts on that. Tell me what how you look at that, and why that is.
Sure. Well, Dave, I think you and I are both up in the New England area, and New England always seems to recover first. I can tell you right now that having been through four recessions in this business, the first thing that happens is people start to hire temporary employees. They're gun shy. They're skittish about making a commitment to a long-term goal with anybody. So they sort of date them, if you will, to make sure that the contracts and the business are there for their companies, but also the fact that this individual is going to work out well and be an asset for our company and fit in with the team. Consequently, what happens is, as the demand comes back in certain sectors, these people that were unemployed are getting scooped up real quick. And certainly there are still some really depressed sectors, but there are a lot of IT businesses, manufacturing businesses, healthcare facilities, all kinds of those types of areas in the New England region, and there is a huge demand for all of those areas. We have, at any one given time, maybe 10 or 13 manufacturing orders that we have a hard time filling because there's just so much competition for manufacturing people. But all the way around right now, the accounting sector is hot. People are just, they're getting jobs. And, you know, if you've got something to offer and you're reliable and you're responsible, you're going to get a job.
You know, we talk about that a lot, and certainly at CMA, my organization, we have the same issue in terms of finding great talent, and that I talk about it all the time on the radio that, you know, if you have a talent, if you have a skill, you will find a job. It's when you don't have a talent, don't have a skill or something to offer or can't present yourself in a way that is professional or, you know, ready for the market, then that's where the trouble comes.
Presentation is so important. We had a gentleman that came in the other day, and he had a marijuana leaf on his T-shirt. And he is looking to go to work in drug-free environments. So what do you think our opinion was of him?
Well, was
poor presentation.
It's presentation, right? That's the key. It's you know, the old saying that common sense is uncommon.
Right.
You know, in this particular case, it's fine that he wants to wear that. It's God-given right if he wants to wear that on a shirt. It's just not necessarily the smartest move.
No, no.
In terms
and
of
you questioned
job.
Whether or not he really wanted to go to work.
Well, certainly, and I understand that. Do you find that unemployment benefits have an effect on the candidate pool?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. Again, we're talking in the trade sectors. The people had gotten laid off, gone out on unemployment, and now they have opportunities to go back to work for $12, $13, $14 an hour. And what's happening in that case is the amount of unemployment that's being offered per week exceeds the total of their paycheck, so they don't want to do it. So they're really not making a whole lot of effort to go back to work, which reduces your candidate pool. And also in the middle management sectors as well, people are making a good deal of money. A lot of them have found consulting positions where they're 1099 employees. They're not going back either for that reason, because they want to just have that independence. But the unemployment benefits, unfortunately, it takes so long to reactivate those after you've gone to work and made a paycheck for 3 or 4 weeks, that some people can't live that way. They need that check every single week. So if it's going to take 3 or 4 weeks to reactivate that check and they're out of work, that's not going to work for them.
No, it's so true. And it's interesting that people always say the unemployment is supposed to be a help. However, unfortunately, in some cases, it is a help, but unfortunately, it has become a crutch.
Absolutely.
And that really does affect some of the candidate pool and demand, because we've heard it. We've heard people say, I'll just take a few months off, when in fact we highly advise they don't do that, because you know suddenly you almost become damaged goods a little as you get older and older into the unemployment ranks.
Definitely.
You know, the companies are looking at, they want someone immediate. They want somebody who is still current and up to date. One of the other trends that we're seeing is mobile recruiting, and certainly it's an upcoming trend. Tell me a little about what you're seeing in the mobile world.
Well, I have to admit that I haven't researched it a whole lot. However, I'm seeing a big movement in that area. And what's happening is you focus on today's individual who can't survive without a mobile phone, can't survive without an iPad, always has a computer next to them. And a lot of the younger generation is, they're using the mobile device to function. They don't want to lug around the big laptop or whatever. So you've got your iPad, you've got your cell phone, and what's happening is a lot of apps are being developed to do the job matching. Career Builder has come out with a mobile app. There's HireAdroid.com, SnagAJob.com, CareerJob.com, and all of these apps are coming out. So as these individuals are sitting there playing with their phones, they can be looking for jobs. You know how often you're sitting in a restaurant and you see two people sitting there attempting to socialize with each other but also watching their phones at the same time. And that way you can just sit there and search away for a new career.
No, it's so interesting how that's changed.
Everyone's jumping on that bandwagon.
Well, it's also, we're seeing in terms of just getting candidates, we're finding more that we're texting to them rather than necessarily email or calling them.
I mean, absolutely.
It's just certainly a different way of connecting with each individual. And it certainly, I talk about a lot in my generational talks that I have with organizations and with speaking. This is a generational change, a generational difference with Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and social media, as well as, you know, if you want to talk at smartphones, though at times I think they're quite dumb. But that's a separate issue altogether. But it is changing the landscape out there completely.
It is. And in fact, I have an individual here that works with me who has a teenage daughter. And she shared with me recently that most of the kids these days that are in high school are communicating through Twitter. It's shorter, it's quicker, and you can share it easier. So we need to look at Twitter as an opportunity to broadcast jobs that we might have open as well, because people can just retweet those opportunities to friends, and it just keeps going and going into the abyss of technology.
No, it's absolutely true. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Big Moose Harley-Davidson would like to invite you to join us as we celebrate the U.S. military on Saturday, November 10th. Join the Freeport Flag Ladies, Rolling Thunder, the Warrior Legacy Foundation, Blue Star Mothers, and many more as we honor those who have sacrificed to keep our nation safe, free, and strong. The $5 Barbecue Benefits the Reese Across America program. Join us at Big Moose Harley-Davidson on 375 Riverside Street in Portland on Saturday, November 10th to honor our military members. To find out more, go to BigMooseHarley.com.
And we're back on the HR Power with Tracy Madden, the president of McIntosh Staffing. Tracy, thank you again for being on the show. It's great to have you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, so we've been talking about certainly temporaries as well as direct hires and certainly the supply of great candidates and so forth. Tell me a little about, you know, what you're seeing in terms of trends for the temp contract staffing. Has it really recovered?
Well, according to the American Staffing Association, the temporary sector has recovered. From the earlier numbers, there were many, many, many temporary employees that were laid off when business started to cut back. Obviously, that was a luxury, and off they went. However, in a recovery, the temporary industry is usually the first to come back. And those are the numbers that I'm seeing.
No, that's great. And how about on the perm side or the placement side? Certainly the demand has been a little bit softer than maybe we would have expected, even though you certainly hear from the expert that it's out there.
Sure. What I am hearing right now is that by the year 2020, 50% of the workforce will be temporary employees. And as far as the permanent side, We haven't seen it as hot as we had hoped. The recovery is still in that tentative, anxious mode where people are not ready to make the commitment. So I can't say that that has come back robustly as we had hoped.
You know, certainly the hiring demand is out there, especially on the temp side, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of companies are looking for either recruiters or even, heck, we're all looking for recruiters out there. And I know certainly that the demand is very high. Are you finding the same challenges with finding that top talent recruiter out there?
Absolutely. I'm always looking for to add to my group if I think somebody could be a producer and fit into our team and philosophies here. And I think other people are doing the same. I speak to people from all over the country. I'm in a couple of associations of privately owned staffing companies and recruiting firms, and they're all saying the same thing. The business is back, and they need to get more bodies in there to help facilitate it. So I think our industry has come back as much as the doomsayers out there at the onslaught of internet job boards and whatnot thought it was going to make our industry obsolete. I think it only became an extra tool to what we can do. And we, too, use those internet job boards. However, there's still that demand to seek out that unique needle in the haystack. And sitting behind the desk in HR with all those hundreds of interruptions all day, it's very difficult to do that and to be able to study the sources and know where to find those people. So our industry is back as the economy recovers.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and certainly you've seen the same stats I had that said back probably in 2008, 2009, you saw about 60% of the recruiters disappear from the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly one of the questions that comes up is why should somebody hire a staffing or recruiting firm versus, you know, somebody who's doing it from their house? And does it really matter, or does somebody even know in terms of that one person behind a desk somewhere doing the board? Does it matter? Does it make a difference in terms of the quality or the organization or having the, you know, something to stand behind in terms of it? I mean, I certainly have my opinion on it, but I'd like to hear yours.
Well, I think it goes back to how you build a relationship. A recruiter, a third-party recruiter, is there to help you find that unique candidate, that talent that you couldn't ordinarily find on your own. But in order to make that work, you need to be invested in the relationship with that individual. I think that if somebody's working in a side bedroom in their home on a phone and working virtually and recruiting for you, that's okay. as long as they know how to build a relationship with you and get your trust, and you need to be able to trust them as well. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the source. We know where the sources are to find these people. That's what we eat, sleep, and breathe. Who's out there? Who's available? What they can do for you. And that's when we put the match together. Certainly, it's great to be able to go to an office every day and have the camaraderie of coworkers and feel the successes and wipe the tears of the losses. But I think at the end of the day, it's important to build a relationship, be a consultative salesperson, not just a quota filler, not a warm body staffer, but get that person to believe in you and you believe in them, and it really does work.
I agree with you 100%, and it certainly makes begs the question, that relationship between the third-party recruiter and the HR manager, how does it work effectively?
It works effectively if you're willing to invest your time. We play the role of HR every day, and we also work with the HR managers. And in order to make it work, both parties have to invest in themselves. The HR manager needs to realize that you are a contingency employee. So if you don't fill this job, you're not going to get a paycheck at the end of the week. And oftentimes that's misused. It's abused by some quota-filling warm body staffing companies or recruiters. Throw the fly at the paper and hope that it sticks. But the longer you work with an individual or that third-party recruiter, you're going to know whether or not that person is really there for your benefit or for their paycheck at the end of the week. You've got to be forthright with them. You've got to share your strategies and your goals and what direction you think your company's going in as an HR manager. You also need to open the door to the key decision makers. You are the HR manager, and you run the gate, but how do we know what the purchasing manager wants or the head of accounting or that controller needs? In order for us to be able to really fill a job and fill it right, it's important for us to understand the personality fit, the culture fit that's going to make a difference in your organization. And by doing that, by opening the door to letting us chat with the key decision makers in that case, is certainly going to make it a lot more effective.
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, one of the things that I get asked sometimes is, you know, what do recruiters give away? You know, is it right to expect that a recruiter is going to give something to the organization to get their business, and or is it expected today in today's market? What's your take on that?
Well, it's funny. We just had that conversation in the office yesterday, and we have a client knocking on our door, and they want us to sign a primary vendor relationship with them, but they're not offering a whole lot of wage to the employees that we'd be recruiting, and they're not offering a whole lot of incentive for us monetarily. And we looked at that and thought, how much of this are we giving away? How much of our time are we giving away? I think as a recruiter, you have to know when to say no. When something doesn't make sense, walk away. You're going to make a lot more successes if you commit to the ones that can really happen. I think as contingency recruiters, we tend to say, well, let's grab them all and see which one we can fill. But that's not always the best method. By giving away your time to 10 employers, you're probably going to be passing off the two that really could stick. So it's better to know when to walk away and know when something is real and invested.
Well, you know, it's about good clients and good relationships. And if it's not good for both parties, that's just not good, simply put. You know,
that's right.
So that's something that has to be worked at both ends. So, Tracy, how long have you been? You said a little bit, 30 years, right, in the staffing world or in the recruiting world?
Right.
You've seen changes over that 30 years, right? Just a few, maybe.
Just a few.
Anything that sticks out as a big change that you've seen in the last 30 years?
Well, I think the biggest change is the relationship freedom that you can have with your counterparts in the industry. When I first got into the business, everything on your desk and everyone you talk to and the clients that you have was a very coveted proprietary bit of information. You didn't share with Dave who you were working with, or you didn't call Dave and say, hey, I've got this candidate that's really fantastic, and I know you work with so-and-so. Would you like to have an opportunity to meet him? None of that happened then. I think as this industry has developed over the last 30 years, there's just such an open-door relationship with recruiters that are, you know, we've all become friends and appreciate what each other goes through to be successful. So we're all in it to help each other. And I think that's what makes our NEEPS organization very, very strong. Not only are we there for our business reasons, but we have developed some really great friendships.
No, that's great. So now you live in New Hampshire, correct?
I do.
No, as you called it, Cow Hampshire. That was very
Cow
funny,
Hampshire,
by
yeah.
the way. Very nice.
Yeah.
and have you lived there the whole life?
I have absolutely lived here my whole life,
great.
Yes.
Married, children?
One child. She just graduated from the University of New Hampshire.
That's awesome.
And I keep telling her she can't come home anymore, but she was there last night.
Isn't that amazing how that works, right?
It does. It does.
That's funny. Well, Tracy, I want to thank you very, very much for being on the show today. I appreciate your insight into recruiting and staffing, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
It was a pleasure, Dave. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.